We would love for Dmitry Filipovich to be there with us tonight. He's with Sportsnet, host of the PDO Cast, which you can find on iTunes. Just a solid hockey podcast without a lot of filler, which I appreciate. You can also find it online, hockeypdocast.com. Dmitry, thank you for the time, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys. I'm excited to chat about the Preds and the NHL playoffs and anything you guys want to get into.
Do you accept the title of president of the Philip Forsberg fan club?
I certainly do. I'd like to think so. I mean, I don't even need to watch these games at this point. I know whether he's done anything or not just by checking my Twitter mentions. It seems there's quite a few people out in Nashville that are under the impression that I actually might be Philip Forsberg, even though my Twitter picture is up there in my actual name, and I understand that there's a bit of confusion there, but I find it all pretty hilarious.
I follow the team a lot more than I follow the league. Give me a couple guys who are comparable to him.
You know what? He's a very unique player right now in terms of his contemporaries. He really reminds me of a guy like Pavel Datsyuk from a past generation. Maybe not so much defensively, but when he has the puck, he's such an artist out there with it. It seems like he really has it on a string, and he's constantly just so elusive and difficult for defenders to get a handle of. So someone like that, just that it really seems like he's not even playing hockey out there. He's just creating art. It's really beautiful to watch.
You know, like with any Stanley Cup playoff series, the opposing cities are going to get into a battle of who's taking more cheap shots, how chippy is the series, and there's always a certain level of chippiness. As you watch this series, is this anything out of the ordinary? And what do you think about how the Preds are sort of bringing the physical play to Colorado? And at times, it's cost them in the penalty box.
I think it's a league-wide trend. I don't think it's necessarily anything that's unique just to this series. The Predators right now playing against this Colorado team, as much as Colorado's given them an admirable fight, they're very clearly the superior team. And much more talented, so they can get away with stuff like that. I'd say looking ahead to a potential second round series against the Winnipeg Jets, it's looming large. That's going to be a series where they're going to really need to tighten things up with in terms of discipline, because the Jets' power play is just so potent, and you don't want to be giving them extra opportunities to create scoring chances and scoring opportunities there. So they can get away with some of that stuff between the whistles here in this series against Colorado Avalanche, but looking ahead, I think that's something that Peter Laviolette is going to really need to stress if they want to get by a second-round matchup against Winnipeg.
Dmitry Filipovich with Sportsnet, our guest on the Midday 180. He picked the Preds to win the Stanley Cup, winning over Boston. Dmitry, you've watched every second of every playoff game so far this postseason. Do you still feel the same way you did a week ago when filling out your bracket?
I do. I think this Predators team from top to bottom is the most loaded. It's got the most depth. It's got the fewest sort of flaws throughout the lineup that an opposing team could potentially target in a series. Like I said, I think that matchup against the Jets in round two is kind of like it's definitely be the conference final. I think it was the two best teams in the Western Conference, but it might even be whoever comes out of that matchup is going to be my favorite to win it all. So that's going to be a very interesting challenge for Nashville, but if they can squeeze by that, I like their chances moving forward, and I haven't seen anything through these first four games that would lead me to believe otherwise.
Well, I know you mentioned on your podcast that you were really hung up on the Nashville-Winnipeg series when selecting the postseason and how it would play out. But now that you see the West, how serious of a contender is Vegas?
I think they're definitely serious. I mean, if you look at that specific division bracket, so both those first-round matchups that wound up being sweeps with Vegas over L.A. and San Jose over Anaheim, it was just the discrepancy between what those teams are capable of in terms of just speed and playing the game at 5-on-5 was very evident right from the jump. And it's not a surprise to me that those series wound up playing out the way they did. And I think that San Jose versus Vegas is a fascinating matchup in and of itself in terms of how those two teams are going to stack up. But whoever wins that, I think, is going to be really in tough against whoever comes out of the Central Division. And I still like either Nashville or Winnipeg, depending on how that plays out.
We're going to conceivably see Nashville-Winnipeg second-round series between the first and the second seed. Mm-hmm. Do they need to change that so that the first and second seed, if they're squaring off, it's for a spot in the Stanley Cup?
I think so. I mean, I understand the argument that, if you're going to win the Stanley Cup, you're going to have to beat the best teams anyways, and that's just part of the draw. And NHL does this sort of stuff for creating more rivalries and having the same teams play each other and over again every year. But I think if you're going to really have an 82-game regular season, you want to give teams credit for winning the President's Trophy like the Nashville Predators did here. And it seems silly to me that while other teams in the Pacific might have easier draws heading to the Western Conference Final, Nashville is going to have to play the second-best team in the league just to get by. So I think that's something they're going to really need to look into and figure out what they want to prioritize, because right now it seems like the system's a bit silly in my eyes.
How would you rate Pekka-Rinne's play so far this series?
I think he's been fine. You know, he definitely hasn't been a liability by any means, especially heading towards the end of the regular season. His play had dipped a little bit, but he's shown at times, you know, this Colorado Avalanche team, for all the flaws they do have, they create a lot of chances off the rush, and especially with Nathan MacKinnon, they're very lethal in that regard, and he's had to stand tall. I remember, especially in game one, Nashville got out of the gate really slow, and it felt like the Predators were there for the taking. It seems like the Avalanche could have stolen that game. But Pekka-Rinne was fantastic and really kind of held the fourth down until Nashville's offense got going. So he's had moments like that that you need from your goalie to win in the postseason. And I haven't seen anything from him that would lead me to believe that, you know, he's going to be a liability or anything like that. So I think he's been perfectly fine.
So the Preds had had some success against Bernier. He goes down before the third period in game four. They're going to face the Hamburglar tonight. Andrew Hammond, a guy who had played one NHL game all year, the third goalie now for Colorado. Does that put the Preds at even more of an advantage, or is there something to a guy coming in that maybe the Preds aren't as accustomed to seeing like Hammond?
Guys, one thing I've learned in my time covering this league and over the past couple of years is that when it comes to goaltending, you just never really know. I'd like to say with some sort of certainty how I think it's going to play out. But if you told me any range of outcomes for Andrew Hammond's performance the rest of the series, I would have to believe it, just because that's how unpredictable that position can be. So I think it's a very clear advantage for Nashville in that. But at the same time, we saw just a few short years ago how Andrew Hammond got hot all of a sudden and carried that Ottawa Senators team into the postseason. So, I mean, we've seen it happen before. It's conceivable that he could stand on his head and steal a game or two here for Colorado. But just with how little he's played at the NHL level the past few years, I think we're going to see some rust there, and I think that Nashville should have no trouble scoring a couple goals tonight.
Dmitry Filipovich of Sportsnet, our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. How good, Dmitry, are Nashville's top four defensemen? We have a local isolation here. From an outsider's perspective, what would you say?
Oh, they're tremendous. I mean, there's nothing like it going on around the league. And what I've been fascinated by in this first-round series is, you know, last year on the way to the Stanley Cup Final, Peter Laviolette was using Matthias Ekholm and P.K. Subban to face the other team's best players pretty much all the way throughout. And so far in this series, we've seen a shift where he's relied more on Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi to do so. And I wonder how much of that just has to do with the fact that Colorado's best player is Nathan MacKinnon, and his best attribute is speed. And it just seems like from a, you know, they can go speed for speeder with that matchup. And I'm fascinated to see in a second round series or moving forward whether he shifts back to using Ekholm and Subban more. But all four of them have contributed in their own ways, and all four of them are almost the perfect player that you want on that blue line. So it's a luxury that that the Predators fans should enjoy. And I constantly get the question of how would you rank those four guys and which one do you prefer? And I often say, just, I don't know, write the four guys' names down on a piece of paper, put them in a hat, and pick one, and you can't go wrong.
Aside from a scenario where we see a deep series with Winnipeg, what is Nashville's biggest weakness that could prevent them from making a run that many of us here are anticipating and predicting?
I think the competition, as you said, there with Winnipeg would be one, and the second one, which we alluded to earlier, would be the discipline. Throughout the year, Nashville was either the most heavily penalized team or definitely up there in terms of the top couple. And we know this time of year, the referees like to put away their whistles and let the players play, but that sort of heightens the importance of every power play opportunity you do wind up getting. And we've seen early on that they can be a bit loose with that, and a better team than Colorado might be able to take better advantage of it. So it's just going to be off like that on the margins. If you look at how they match up with everyone else, from a big picture point of view, there's very few matchups where the Predators are going to be wind up losing. So it's just a matter of tightening things up and you know, hoping that things work out well in that Winnipeg series.
Final thing for you. I know the NHL analytics crowd last year, they saw Arvidsson's breakout year. They saw Kevin Fiala and the season coming this year for him. Is there a player in this postseason who is capable of more, a player who we haven't seen the best from yet?
One thing I really look at, and both with Fiala and Arvidsson, the thing that pops in me, other than the fact that whenever you watch them, it seemed like they were creating something for their team, was I'm often looking for young players who are playing sparingly, but whenever they're out there, are just creating a ton of shot chances and shot opportunities. And a guy that's really caught my eye throughout the year as a whole, but especially in this postseason, has been a guy like Timo Meier, maybe, in San Jose. And I know that now he's playing on the second, third line, so he might not necessarily be a completely out of nowhere candidate, but he's a guy I've really been intrigued. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for young players who generate a ton of shot volume and with a larger opportunity up, moving up the lineup, can start up creating more scoring chances. So I'd go with Timo Meier there, but the league right now is in such a great spot with young talent, and pretty much every team seems to have at least one or two guys that could conceivably take a massive step even heading into next season.
Check out the PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich, hockeypdocast.com, the website. You can also check him out on Sportsnet. Dmitry, thank you for the time. We appreciate the insight.
I appreciate it. Anytime, guys. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy the rest of Predators hockey.
Yeah, thank you. We'll catch up soon. Dmitry Filipovich, our guest. A guest last year during the postseason, and really good with the work he does for both Sportsnet and the hockey podcast that he does is excellent. He watches every single playoff game and then dissects it. Takes up quite a bit of his time.
First round is a lot.
The Greg Cosell of hockey.